one is all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly?
Aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection. Mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk and BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are USA 888-228-4494, Canada 877-489-6350, and our direct lines, same area code, 530-776-5154 or 776-5185 and 876-9916. And I have to tell you guys, we have a really incredible and awesome guest for this evening. Before we invite our guest for this evening onto the show, I'd like to bring forth my co-host for this evening. Welcome to the show, Fran. Are you there, Fran? Okay, so I'm not able to hear her myself personally, so just bear with us for just one moment. I do apologize to each and every one of our listeners. And what I would like to go ahead and do while Seth is taking care of business for the show tonight, I'd like to share wonderful information about our guest for this evening. And his name is Dr. David Clark. And he has received his BA in physiology from Williams College and his medical degree from the University of Connecticut in 1979. Since then, he has successfully cared for thousands of patients with stress illness, often sent to him after other doctors were unable to help them. He has been a visiting professor at several international hospitals, including Oxford. He was also named a top doctor in the Portland Monthly Magazine Physician Review in 2005 and 2006. Dr. Clark is a clinical assistant professor of medicine with Oregon Health and Sciences University, a clinical instructor at Pacific University, and a member of the Academic of Psychomatic Medicine. Pardon me, everyone. He is board certified in gastroenterology and internal medicine and has practiced in Portland, Oregon since 1984. Without further delay, let's not only welcome Dr. Clark to the show, but also my co-host, Fran. Welcome back, Fran. Hello? Dr. Clark, are you there?
I am absolutely here, Leilani, and it's great to be with you.
Thank you. We do apologize to you for a little bit of the hiccups here. But first and foremost, I want to let all our listeners know that Dr. David Clark has written a wonderful book titled They Can't Find Anything Wrong. He will share with us tonight the seven keys to understanding, treating, and healing stress illness. Fran, are you back with me?
I sure am.
Well, welcome back to the show. I do want to take a moment before we turn the show over to Dr. David, is invite each and every one of you to my show page. I have a wealth of information about the great works that Dr. David is doing, And for all the listeners in PAL Talk, I also have Dr. David's website listed as well. So, Fran, before we turn the show over to Dr. David, I'd like for you to, if you would, say hello to all the listeners of BBS and PAL Talk, and just tell them a little bit about yourself very quickly.
Oh, I'd be happy to. Welcome to the show, everyone. Everyone on PAL Talk knows me by the nick by candlelight. I'm a psychic intuitive, and as a profession in the secular world, I'm a medical coding and billing specialist. And so this show is a lot of interest to me. I do work with patients who are undergoing different procedures and are in situations of stress and have a little bit of medical knowledge as far as medical terminology and common procedures is concerned. And I'm just very thrilled to be here and be able to speak with Dr. Clark.
Thank you, friend. It is an honor to have you. So, Dr. David, I'd love to hear from you because I am very fascinated over your book. And one of the most profound statements that I found that you had made in this book is that as a doctor, that you personally knew not to judge your patients, but to really listen. And what a profound statement for you to make. I'm very impressed with that.
Well, thank you for saying that. It turned out that 25 years ago, I found that all the training I had up to that time was not adequate for successfully finding what was wrong with a large number of my patients. And that came as a big shock to me, and I had to almost start over from scratch and just learn how to listen to people until I could understand who they were as human beings, what kinds of experiences they had had. And that enabled me to start looking into their personal background and find the hidden stresses that were responsible for their very real symptoms that they were experiencing.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, you'll love this because I was sending out a message to all the listeners tuned in to the show tonight. I said, it's a good thing we have a doctor in the house tonight. I said, all of a sudden I found myself under a lot of stress. So let's talk about stress illness because I know that people from all over the world are actually suffering from stress, and a lot of them don't even realize that they're being affected directly by the stress.
That's exactly right. It's tens of millions of people. It's half the people who go to see a doctor about physical symptoms. But beyond even the numbers, I mean, the suffering that some of these people experience, first of all, their symptoms are just as real as symptoms caused by any other disease that I treat, whether it's ulcers or liver disease or inflamed bowels. The symptoms that my patients with stress have are just as real. Some of them have been hospitalized. A few of them have even had unnecessary surgery. So these are very real symptoms, but because the stress that's responsible for the symptoms doesn't cause any visible damage to the body, there's nothing for our diagnostic tests to find. And test after test is normal. The very first story in my book is a woman who was hospitalized 60 times over 15 years at a university with no diagnosis being made. And yet, just by knowing what to look for, asking her the right questions, knowing how to bring out the stress that was hidden in her life, in her case, there was emotional abuse occurring from her mother, and she didn't realize how much it was affecting her. And once we brought that out and made it clear that it was affecting her in a profound way, her illness was over in less than a day.
Yes, and I thought about this earlier today, where I was recapping some actual events that took place for myself on a very deep and personal level. You know, and I had spent years not realizing that, I wasn't coping with a lot of the stress that was around me and didn't even realize some of the behavior patterns that I was expressing was actually due to part of the depression that I felt I was in, which was creating, you know, that was the cause and the effects of the stress I was under. And so it's going to be really interesting for you to share with us tonight all the different steps and signs that we can look for to, you know, to identify with not only with ourselves but with our family and our friends. And, you know, I was really intrigued with the 7 keys to understanding. Would you share those with us?
Yes, absolutely. You know, first, I'd just like people to know that even if they've been to the doctor and they've had a number of tests and the doctor says we just can't find anything wrong, that doesn't mean there isn't a solution. Just as you described in your own personal experience, there are millions of people who are suffering from stresses that are partly or completely hidden from them. You just have to know where to look. And that's where I put 4 dozen stories or so from my practice that cover the whole spectrum of this condition in the book so that people can read those stories and get real insight into themselves from seeing how other people found those hidden stresses. So key number one is just understand that we can diagnose and treat this condition. We can bring those hidden stresses out into the open and begin to work on them. Key number two is to search for those stresses. And we'll talk a little later about the 5 different kinds, people can start out just by making a list of all the stresses in their life, everything that's causing them worry, anxiety, nervousness, fear, tension. And just by making that list, they'll start to bring things out of their background that they might not appreciate the power of. Key number 3 is to simply care for yourself. This is so important. So many of my patients are the kinds of people that take care of everybody else in their world, but don't quite ever get around to taking care of themselves. And that's going to catch up to you after a while. A lot of people feel guilty when they spend time on themselves. They can think of something more, quote-unquote, useful to do. But you can't do that indefinitely. And I like my patients to spend time regularly every week just doing something that they love to do. Key number 4 is to what I call get right by writing. And it turns out that writing of a certain kind is a very powerful therapeutic technique for many people, particularly my survivors of childhood stress. If you're the kind of person, when you look back at your own childhood, you might say to yourself, I would never want an innocent child to go through what I went through. If you write about those experiences, if you write a letter that you write a letter to the person or persons who caused you difficulty when you were growing up, not to mail it, just to write it. Oftentimes, the more you put down on that piece of paper, the less stress there will be that goes into your body and causes symptoms. Key number 5 is to employ appropriate therapies. This might be medication for some people. It might be counseling for other people. But there are a lot of specific treatments out there. Once we've identified a particular specific stress, there are specific treatments that can be very beneficial. Number 6, overcome hidden resistance. And here what I'm talking about is primarily for my patients who have grown up in difficult home situations when they were children. Oftentimes those environments make people feel like second-rate human beings, make them feel like they're just not measuring up. And it's so important to recognize that those ideas came into you from the outside world. They have nothing to do with who you are. And in fact, if you've survived those environments, you've done a heroic thing. A hero in our society is somebody who has overcome a physical or emotional challenge. And my childhood stress survivors have done exactly that. To me, they're heroic, and I want them to think of themselves the same way. And finally, number 7, if you can do all of the other 6, you're going to pull away all of the hidden stresses that are holding you back from achieving your potential. And if the more you can bring out those hidden stresses and successfully cope with them, the more you're going to become the person you were always meant to be. I've gone on. I'm very long-winded when it comes to this subject because I have such passion for it because I've seen so many people who've turned their lives around when they've been able to follow these steps.
I agree with you, Dr. David. For all those listeners that have just tuned in to the show, our wonderful guest this evening is Dr. David D. Clark, M.D. The title of his book is They Can't Find Anything Wrong. I'd like to invite each of you onto my show page. I have a wealth of information about Dr. David's great works and also some information about his book. And also for the listeners in Pal Talk, I also have Dr. David's website listed there for your convenience. You know, it's really interesting because I've been really excited because, you know, I'm out there all the time meeting people from all over the world. And even, you know, recapping on myself as an individual, I find that millions of people on this planet have some form of a symptom of a stress illness. So my question to you tonight, Dr. David, if a physician or as a physician can't find anything wrong with a patient, how does this book can be a useful and powerful tool for those people that are really wanting to make a difference in their own lives with the stress?
Well, you know, a few people, they're still going to have a disease that could be found by a test, but it turns out in the 21st century, our tests are quite good, and most of the time, if there's a disease, those tests are going to find it. And so if the tests are normal, the chances are very good that the symptoms are coming from one of the five different types of stresses. And the book has about four dozen different stories, all taken from my practice, about how different people were able to find, working with me, find those hidden stresses, bring them out under the surface, and begin working on them. Now, the five different kinds of stresses, number one is just stress that's in your life at the moment, something that might be happening in your life. For example, there was a man who had stomach pains whenever he was driving to work, but he did not have stomach pains when he was driving home from work. And sure enough, he was having all kinds of difficulties in his office, and that was the cause of his illness. The second major type of stress is stress from when you were a child. And I mentioned before that if you're a kind of person who looks back and says, I would never want an innocent child or a child of mine to grow up like I did, that's the kind of experience that can stay with a person and affect them for years and even decades after they've grown up. And I've seen many instances when it has made people have physical illness. And the symptoms of this stress-related illness can be anything from head to toe, by the way. I mean, headaches, lump in the throat, difficulty breathing, chest pain, abdominal pain, pain in the female pelvic region, all kinds of gastrointestinal and digestive problems like nausea or bowel trouble. So these are real symptoms that come from this.
The three
other kinds of stress that I look for are mental health conditions that can sneak into your life in ways you might not suspect. And these conditions are depression, post-traumatic stress, and the anxiety disorders. And they can sometimes occur in a person, and they don't recognize that it's happening. And there are specific symptoms you have to look for in order to understand that that's what's going on.
Yes, I agree. Clark,
if
yes,
we
friend.
Find ourselves under a physician's care, as a patient, is this something that we should assume is part of our physician's training, or is this one of those areas that we need to actually become our own patient advocate and identify that there may be stress that is adding to our own illness and bring that up ourselves to the doctor for examination?
Well, yeah, that's the pathway that I recommend, is that unfortunately it's a real travesty of the medical education system that even though half the people who come to a doctor have stress-related illness, very few physicians get any formal training in this area. I was very lucky that I ran into a psychiatrist who was also a board-certified internist who understood this condition in a very extensive way and who trained me back when I was at UCLA many years ago. But for unfortunately, the vast majority of physicians have not had much formal training in this area, so you do have to be an advocate for yourself. What you can do is by reading the stories in the book, you can get an insight into your own personal situation that you can then take back to your physician. You can say, look, I've now seen that I might have symptoms that are connected to an anxiety disorder, or I might have symptoms that are connected to stress when I was growing up. And the doctor can then recommend that you use various other resources that he can refer you to. It might be another physician. It might be mental health counseling. It might be medication. But your doctor who knows you is going to know those resources and be able to use the information that you bring to him or her, and that's going to make a difference for you.
Absolutely. If I may just take a moment, I'd like to recap the 7 keys to understanding, treating, and healing stress illness. Key number 1, understand that your symptoms can be diagnosed and treated. Key number 2, search for the sources of stress. Number 3, care for yourself. Number 4, get right by writing. Key 5, employ appropriate therapies. Key 6, overcome hidden resistance. Key 7, become the person you were always meant to be. What a very powerful statement. I really like key 7, by the way, Dr. David.
Yeah, you know, that's the end result. And I've seen so many patients who've reached that outcome, that they've been struggling with issues that were hidden from them, that were holding them back, that were, you know, one of the great examples is the kind of person who takes care of everybody else in their world. One of my favorite patients grew up above a restaurant that was owned and managed by her parents. And when she was growing up, she used to have all kinds of jobs in the restaurant, and she was taking care of younger siblings while mom and dad were working downstairs. And she never really learned how to play. She never really learned anything but responsibility for the needs of others. And as a middle-aged woman, she was still taking care of everybody she knew, but she never put herself on the list of people she took care of until we talked about her life and we understood how her behaviors had roots many, many years ago, and that she was hitting the wall and her body was protesting with all kinds of symptoms in multiple different locations in her body, telling her that she was trying to do too much for everybody else and not enough for herself. And once she made that change, once she learned the skill of doing something that was enjoyable for herself every week, the symptoms melted away, and she was a different person.
Thank you, Fran. I'd like to go ahead and bring you forward, and I want to welcome my co-host this evening, Fran, to the show. And I'll let you go ahead and ask your next question, if you would.
Thank you, Lilani. It occurs to me that many times we are the friend or the relative of someone who is undergoing some sort of medical procedure or treatment, and we're very often able to identify that this loved one or friend is in a great deal of stress and may not be aware of it. Is there anything particular that you would suggest, doctor, that we as a bystander might be able to do to assist someone that we care about?
You know, that's a great question. A lot of my patients, they don't see what's happening to themselves. They feel like it's just their normal life. They don't appreciate just how much of a burden they're carrying around. They might feel like they're struggling. They might feel tense, anxious, worried much of the time. But they don't see the weight of the burden they're carrying. They're actually very strong people, but they're carrying very big weights. And what I've tried to do for those people is to ask them if somebody that they cared about, perhaps their child, perhaps another child, perhaps their best friend, if some other person was coping with the same burdens that they were, how would they feel about that? Would they be okay with it? Would they say, oh, that person should be able to handle all of that? Because once you see it happening to somebody else, once you imagine it happening to somebody that you care about, then all of a sudden you say, wait a minute, I wouldn't want somebody else to have to be coping with everything that I'm coping with. And that may help you to see that what you're carrying around with you is perhaps too much. And particularly if you're having physical symptoms from it, that often is the body's way of talking to us. It's the body's way of saying, you know, we need to make a change here. We can't cope with everything. We're waving the white flag of surrender and experiencing these symptoms as a way of telling us that we need to make changes. I hope that helps you. But it's so many of my patients, they're used to carrying huge burdens for years, often since they were little kids, just like the woman I mentioned who lived atop the restaurant. She was working hard from a very early age, and it just seemed normal. But if you ask her, would it be okay for your daughter to work that hard, she got horrified. She said, absolutely not. I would never want my daughter to work that hard. I would try that approach.
Thank you. Very good suggestion.
Yes, and Dr. David, you are still with us, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Thank you. I want to take this moment to share with all of you, for those that are just tuning into the show, our guest this evening is Dr. David D. Clark, and he has written a wonderful book titled, They Can't Find Anything Wrong. Now, I personally have the book in front of me, and I have to say, I definitely could relate with quite amazing how I was able to relate with this book, because I found myself walking through my own personal journey and was able to really identify the highs and lows of my own life and all the different signs that I realized for myself is when I was dealing with stress. I didn't necessarily always cope with it and didn't understand, you know, what stress was all about and how it could directly affect not only our emotional, mental, and spiritually, but also on a very profound physical level as well. And, you know, Dr. David, I was sitting here listening to you share your wonderful wisdom with all of us, and we're seeing a lot of that with our teenagers today, aren't we?
Yes, we certainly are. They're growing up in an extremely busy world, and what I've found with the teenagers that's particularly difficult is that many of them are still living in their family, which is a stressful environment. My adult patients who grew up in a stressful environment, they've moved on. They've gotten on with their own lives. They're living in their own place, and they've left their difficult childhoods oftentimes many years in the past. But my teen patients may still be living in those difficult environments. And sometimes, you know, nobody recognizes how difficult it is. One of my patients who'd been ill for a number of weeks, and I asked her if she'd been under much stress, and she said, no, not really, but a tear kind of rolled down her cheek as she said that. And it turned out that her parents had the best intentions in the world, but it seemed like they could always find something that she could do better. And they were always telling her, well, you can do this better and you can do that better. And the last straw was one night they sat her down, and she was at a very, very busy school and extracurricular schedule. And they sat her down and said, you know, honey, we don't think you're keeping up with current events, and we would like you to start reading the Wall Street Journal or maybe The Economist so that you can keep up with things. And for her, that was just the last straw. And the next morning she woke up with terrible abdominal cramping, and it was only when we got her parents to kind of cut her a little slack and recognize that she was doing a terrific job and try to turn the parents more into cheerleaders than they were into instructors that her pains finally went away.
Mm-hmm. So it brings me to ask you this question, if I may, is how can conditions like depression or post-traumatic stress and anxiety not be obvious to the patient that is suffering from stress illness and even the doctors?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, you would think if you have the disease depression that you would feel depressed, but Amazingly enough, this disease that we give the name depression, people don't always necessarily feel particularly depressed, but they can have that disease, and they can have other symptoms of it that are equally important, but not very well recognized by the public. And this includes waking up in the early hours of the morning and not being able to get back to sleep. It includes having your energy level drop way down. It includes losing interest in things that you used to love to do. One of my patients recognized as we were talking that he used to love to go trout fishing in the season, but that he hadn't been in 2 years. He just kind of lost his enthusiasm for it. And this can actually manifest itself also, depression can, I mean, in physical symptoms, headaches or vague belly pains or... and people get desperate for having a solution to this, but nothing shows up in any of the tests. So if you don't know what to look for, if you don't know these other symptoms of depression, you may miss the diagnosis altogether. But I've had lots of my patients who clearly have this disease, and I'll say to them, do you feel depressed? And they'll say, no, not really. They might be exasperated. They might be frustrated. They might be stressed. But they don't necessarily feel depressed, so that it can sneak into your life and be there, and your doctor may not know the right questions to ask about it either.
Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, stepping outside of judging a patient when they come and really listening to what they're actually sharing with you. And that's where, I mean, I when I read that, I said, wow, now this is a doctor that's really cares to be tuned in to his patients. And, you know, as we all know, listening has been lost throughout the years, and it's very refreshing to actually meet a doctor at your statue that has that loving, passionate caring for each of his patients. So, Fran, would you like to ask Dr. David as well another question?
Well, something did occur to me. There seems to be such a wide range of symptoms that can occur. Are there any guidelines that the typical patient might think about to determine whether or not this may be an area being affected by stress rather than an actual illness or physiology disorder?
Well, you know, I wish there was a blood test for this condition, or I wish there was a clue that you could always count on that it would point in the direction of it being stress-related. And really, the only slight clue is if you have symptoms in more than one area of the body at the same time. Actually, if you have multiple areas of your body with symptoms, that often is a clue that it's stress-related, particularly if you've got symptoms, six or more different kinds of symptoms. But, you know, the truth is that the same symptom in one person may be due to an ulcer and then the next person due to stress, or one person may be having a heart condition and the next person with exactly the same symptoms, it may be due to stress. So you really can't tell. You need to go to the doctor, get the diagnostic test done to see if there's anything visibly wrong with the body. And then as the tests come in and they show one test after another is normal and is not showing any problems, then the chances get higher and higher that it's stress-connected. And that's the time to start thinking about reading the stories and getting some insights into stresses that may be hidden in your life. Try to bring those out into the open, the stories in my book, I mean. And then you can start working on those stresses, try to bring those stresses down. And if you see that your symptoms also improve while you're bringing the stresses down, that's very good circumstantial evidence that you're on the right track.
I do have a question to ask you, Dr. David, from one of our listeners. And it is from IM, and she says, and I know that you have shared this with us earlier in the show, but she would like to have you recap on it. And she says, how are we able to reduce stress?
Well, you first have to find where the stress has come from. And this is where, when I see a patient, I interview them oftentimes for up to an hour. My nurses schedule my patients, especially patients with this kind of problem, right before lunch and right at the end of the day, so that if I end up talking for a long time, I don't impact the rest of my schedule. But I'd like to get to know my patients as people and find out where those stresses are coming from, where those hidden stresses are, because the answer to that depends on each particular individual. But just in general, one good approach is to just write a list of every stress you can think of in your life, everything that causes anxiety, nervousness, tension, fear, worry. Write all those down. Keep that list with you as you go about your business. And when you think of a new one, add it to the list. And then just by looking at that list, your brain is going to start to think of solutions. And sometimes just by making some changes in a couple of items on the list, you can make a big difference in how you feel.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's really interesting because just I can actually identify when my stress level actually goes up. Just prior to actually signing on to the radio show, you know, with having a lot of different things going on that I'm multitasking, I can actually feel my stress level rise. And but even with that said, you know, I remind myself to relax, it's okay, breathe, you know, all those kinds of things as I'm, you know, proceeding with the radio show, and then all of a sudden I'm able to fully relax myself. But with that all said, I want to remind all our listeners this evening is that on a personal level for myself, I have really learned quite a bit about this book and the wonderful techniques that Dr. David has shared so wonderfully in this book. I also, by learning this information from the doctor, is that I'm able to observe and identify with others around me or just walking, you know, down the street or shopping or whatever. I'm actually able now, I was actually testing myself to see if I was able to pick out and identify individuals that were suffering from stress illness, because a lot of times I could tell by the way they carried themselves, the way they may speak, the way they chose to dress. And those are just, you know, surface things that you can observe just by being the observer. I also would highly recommend this book to a lot of therapists, healers. It's quite amazing how well Dr. David has put this book together. And I have to say they're practical. They are common sense techniques that you have brought forth in this book. So this wonderful book is titled, They Can't Find Anything Wrong. Please, go ahead, Dr. David.
Well, I'm just going to say, I mean, I've had, 7,000-plus teachers over the last 25 years who have all been kind enough to share with me very difficult experiences they've had in their lives and have allowed me to learn from them what it took to make them ill in the first place, and then what it took to help them to heal and recover from those experiences. And it's been a long journey to access all of this human experience and try to organize it and put it into one representative a sample of, like I say, about 4 dozen stories. But it's been a tremendous experience to be able to help people who have overcome so much and be able to share that with the rest of the world.
At the beginning of the show, Doctor, we used one of those great big long doctor words, gastroenterology. Could you give us the layman's explanation of what that specialty entails?
Well, I like to say that it entails guts are us. But essentially, it's a subspecialty of diagnostic adult medicine, where we focus on diseases of digestion, specifically the esophagus, the stomach, the bowels, and also the pancreas and the liver and the gallbladder. So I take care of a lot of people with liver diseases and gallstones and hepatitis, ulcers, and inflamed intestines and things like that. But about a third of my practice, I found that with all the diagnostic tests I was trained to use, they wouldn't find the answer. If I was able to diagnose every patient who came to see me with a CAT scan or an endoscope or a blood test, I probably never would have gotten into this other area. But I found that all of these patients, this large number of patients, I would do all these tests and I still wouldn't have the explanation. I still wouldn't have an answer for why they were ill. And so I had to go back to basics and just start asking questions about what the person might have gone through in their life that could have produced a situation in their nervous system where their brain was coping with so much stress that it had to unload it into the body, and those nerve signals would travel from the brain into the body and cause these very real and very debilitating symptoms. And I had to trace them back first to the brain and then to the underlying stress. And after a few years, I began to see the patterns and make connections and began to be able to help people in ways that I really had never imagined possible before.
Go ahead, Fran. Please continue.
No, we might have lost Fran. But I must say, you know, I was 25 years ago. I wasn't trained in how to do this. I was trained that, you know, you put an endoscope inside somebody or you did a CAT scan inside somebody and you were going to find the answer. And I just found that that wasn't true. And it wasn't true with a large number of people. And I learned, fortunately, from Dr. Kaplan, who was my mentor at UCLA, what kinds of questions to ask. Was the person struggling in their home or their workplace? Were they abused as a child? Did they grow up being made to feel like they were a second-rate human being? Are they suffering from excessive tension or worry or anxiety all the time? One of my patients used to get terrible abdominal cramps and diarrhea, but it turned out she was a 16-year-old girl, and that's what she was referred for. But it turned out she would get them on Tuesdays and Thursdays. On the weekends, she'd be fine. And it turned out that she was on her high school's soccer team, and the team played their games on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and she was tremendously anxious about her performance in those games, and it had an effect on her bowels. But on the weekends, no problem. I would never have guessed that such a profound change in a person's physiology could occur simply from anxiety, if you asked me about that 25 years ago.
So it is amazing how the body will respond to even mental stress. And show us such clear indications that we're taking on more than we can actually handle.
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes that's the only way that my patients know how much they're coping with. Many of them, they feel weak as people. They feel like they're not coping well, but actually they're very strong. I mean, many of my patients have overcome things. I tell them it's like they were born on the far side of Mount Everest and they had to climb up and over to get to be adults, and that they've done a tremendous thing to have just survived. Once they can start looking at themselves as people who, you know, got stuck in a bad place when they were born and had the strength to survive and look at themselves with pride for having done that, it makes a huge difference.
I'd like to ask you a question as well, is what can be done to improve the health care system so that the stress illness is indeed diagnosed and treated correctly?
You know, that's a great question also. It starts with the training of the doctor to just first to recognize that various forms of psychosocial stress can make a person physically ill, can cause symptoms that bring somebody to your office, and not just occasionally, but frequently do that. Then the second major change, which is something that we've done in the medical group in which I have my private practice, is that we have people who have master's degrees in a psychological or mental health field, and they are working directly with the primary care clinicians. They're right there in the clinic with them, so that if the doctor encounters a patient who's maybe got some of these issues, they've got a skilled psychological counselor right there available for them. And any practice with three or four or five doctors could easily find one of these individuals to be fully occupied with patients in their practice that have these issues, so that they can bring their psychological expertise to bear in finding these stresses. Because we're never going to train every primary care practitioner in the country how to do the same things that I do, but by working, by combining their expertise in medicine with expertise in psychology in the form of this person with a master's degree, it can make a huge difference. We can stop a lot of these illnesses in their tracks. We can prevent them from undergoing endless and needless diagnostic testing. It would just really save a fortune as well as relieve a tremendous amount of human suffering.
We've been talking about older teens and adults. Is this also something that could be a plausible factor dealing with younger children?
Well, I think it definitely is. In my early years, I did see children younger than age 10. My practice has unfortunately had to be restricted from that in recent years just because of the sheer volume of patients that are referred to me. I definitely have seen people in the grade school years who have had stress-related symptoms, but I just don't have as much experience with that as I do with the older folks. But certainly, you know, there are many children in this country that are growing up in tremendous amounts of stress. Many of them, unfortunately, lack health insurance. Many of them lack access to food, water, food and shelter some of the time. So they're coping with a lot, and I would love to see our school districts get involved in that and at least inquire to find out if children in the classroom are coping with something at home that should be addressed.
We are getting close to having to say goodnight to you, Dr. David. I want to remind all our listeners this evening, and I know that you guys have been really listening. I've been watching all of you, and I know that you've been taking some wonderful notes. I do invite each and every one of you onto my show page. I have a wealth of information about Dr. David Clark and his wonderful work that he's doing. Also, I'd like to share the title once again, and that is They Can't Find Anything Wrong, The Seven Keys to Understanding, Treating, and Healing Stress Illness. But before we let you go, Dr. David, there is one other question I would like to ask you, and I'd like to know what would be the best treatment for stress illness.
Well, it depends on the particular stress that you're suffering from. Certainly the seven keys we mentioned before, the various writing exercises to write down the list of stresses. If you had childhood stress in your life, to write a letter, not to be mailed, but just to be written to the person or persons who caused the stress for you. If you're suffering from one of the three mental health conditions, the depression, post-trauma stress, or anxiety disorder, then you may benefit either from counseling or in some cases from medication. Or from both. So all of these things have their own specific treatments. Many of my patients are suffering from more than one kind of hidden stress at a time, and I like to go after each one of them with a specific set of treatments that's applicable to each one.
Well, thank you, Doctor. You've been so informative, and I know that you've brought to our minds an area that we may not have thought about ordinarily. I'm sure that many people are going to find this to be of extreme help to them in their own therapy and you know, their own treatments. Leilani, as we get to the near to the end of the show, I would like you to remind you to talk a little bit about the NSOF workshops that are coming up. Uh-oh, I think we may have lost Leilani.
Oh, no.
I'm here. Oh, you guys couldn't hear me?
No, you kind of dropped off on us there. We got scared.
Hey, as they say, shift happens, doesn't it? Anyway, I do want to make sure that for those that have not been able to visit my show page or are not listening in Pal Talk, I would like to make sure that you do have the website, and that is www.stressillness.com. And the title, once again, is They Can't Find Anything Wrong, 7 Keys to Understanding, Treating, and Healing Stress Illness. And our guest tonight has been Dr. David D. Clark, M.D. Once again, the website is www.stressillness.com. We want to personally thank you, Dr. David. I look forward to observing all the great works that you are doing, and brilliant. I have to say, this is one of the most brilliant, profound books that I have come across in a very long time. And I read a lot of books.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure working with you this evening. You asked very insightful questions, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. And we'll be well and sleep well tonight, Dr. David, and keep up the great works.
Thank you.
Good night, Doctor.
Well, thank you, Fran, because good night, Dr. David. Once again, that title of the book is They Can't Find Anything Wrong, The 7 Keys to Understanding, Treating, and Healing Stress Illness, written by Dr. D. Clark, M.D. Website is www.stressillness.com. And I have to tell you, listeners, this is a very brilliant, well-written book, and I personally was able to really connect with this at a very deep level. But I also wanted to take a moment to share with you that a master teacher, Todd, from the Mystery Schools will be present in Florida. I have all the dates listed on my show page, and it is definitely a tremendous modality to take a look at. He also, you know, as you all, I have shared with a lot of you that I've been doing the 12 levels of NSOF, and oh my gosh, and a lot of you are seeing the reaps, the cause and the effects of these great alignments that I've been involved with. So I have got a wealth of information, dates, times, places that you will be able to seed Todd App, and he's just a wonderful master. But I want to thank my co-host, Fran, as usual. It has been a real honor to have you.
I was happy to share the time with you.
I truly want to send my love and alohas to each of my listeners this evening to the show, and I personally want to thank all my admins for monitoring and being of assistance to all the listeners. And thank you, Seth, from BBS Radio. It's always an honor to work with you. On that note, remember to love yourselves and to love your families with all your hearts. Be well to each and every one of you, and bless you all. Good night.
All I want is all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born to fly high. We were born to fly, and so was I. I asked myself, what will I come to be? I have a choice now, so I guess it's up to me. Maybe I will make a difference in this world. Maybe I will teach another boy or another girl how to fly. Teach them all that they were born to fly. And we were born to fly, so was I. But when you live in a world that tells you that you can't, and when you live in a world that says you must be something other than what you are, in a world that forgets he was born to fly. And we were born to fly. And we were born to fly.
What's up, peoples? This is The Worderer, and you can check out my flavor at TheWorderer.com. And I just love listening to the biggest internet radio network on the planet. You heard me? The planet. Yeah, BBS Radio. Because if it ain't mainstream, then it's gotta be on BBSRadio.com.
Far across the atmosphere, I reach for you, but you're not here. I wish I had the strength to pull you close before you disappear. If only one time I could see the purest light.